What's up and welcome to Sweathead with Mark Pollard. Today we are going to discuss mental health and specifically this thing that's become known as mental wellness, especially for people in advertising agencies, but not just for people in advertising agencies. If it's your first time here, don't forget to subscribe. If you've enjoyed these episodes, of course, you're more than welcome to leave a very kind rating or review. Here's where we start with this topic. Dear advertising agencies, mental wellness is not an initiative you can use to wish away cultures and processes that are not mentally healthy. I think it really starts with the first few words there, that mental wellness is not an initiative. And it's important to acknowledge that people bring a lot of complexity into an issue like mental health. And so when I talk in a very general way, it's not to deny that people have very nuanced situations with what's going on in their heads. But in general, what I'm trying to point a finger at is this concept of mental wellness and the workplace coming together, where mental wellness is just a band-aid for potentially poor workplace behaviors and attitudes, right? So mental wellness is not an initiative you can use to wish away cultures and processes that are not mentally healthy. You don't get to say, hey, look, if your office is open right now, we have a yoga room or a meditation room, and then still expect people to work 80-hour weeks. That's ridiculous. It's crazy. It's like thinking you're healthy because you eat some romaine lettuce every now and then binge on a bucket of ice cream every night. It doesn't compute. Now, I'm going to point at a few things that I believe are true based on reading things, being exposed to things. I'm not going to cite references. You can do that in your own time. But there are at least these seven things that I believe lead to a relatively mentally healthy agency culture. And before I get into this, I do want to point out that sometimes we expect too much from our agencies and from our employers and from our bosses. Sometimes we do. However, a lot of the agency world can be abusive. It can wear people down. It can burn them out. And then it just throws them out, especially at a certain age, but it's not just about age. So there are at least these seven things that people are looking for in agencies that agencies can provide that can affect mental health. One is a sense of meaning. Lots of research on this about how a sense of meaning in your day job can lead to better mental health. What does an agency need to do about this? Well, help somebody understand what kind of meaning, and I know it's an esoteric word, what kind of meaning that person can achieve there based on the meaning, the goal, the vision, the mission, whatever fancy business word you want to use, the mission of the agency. What are we about? Are we about creating famous work? Are we about solving problems in really eccentric and unusual ways? What's all that about? And that helps the individual to understand where they fit. Autonomy, super important. Creative minds especially want context, and then they want to be able to explore different ways of trying to achieve a goal or to solve a problem. They don't want to be told what to do. Psychological safety is number three. People need to feel safe. Otherwise, they're constantly in fight or flight mode and it wears people down for reasonable hours. If you're constantly doing 60, 70, 80 hour weeks, it's just not sustainable. And how good is the work that you're doing anyway? Oh, hang on. That might not matter because you're selling hours, right? Not necessarily selling effectiveness or quality of output or deliverables. The fifth thing that matters as far as mental health goes, from what I believe, this is probably a little bit more of a personal bias, is small focus teams. The thing that I could point to that suggests that it might not be a personal bias is I do believe that when you're in a room of people and the number of people in that room gets above about eight, the brain turns a little bit more into fight or flight mode because there are a lot of people for it to evaluate who's safe and who's not safe. So small focus teams are important. Gentle hierarchy. Yep, this could be a cultural thing, but there is research out there that talks about how where if you're low in hierarchy, low in status, and there's a big gap in hierarchy and status in a society or in a company, that you package that with a lack of autonomy, as in being told what to do and when to do it. You package that with a lack of meaning, not feeling safe, not working reasonable hours, and it's a cocktail for not good mental health. And that's regardless of what personal experience someone's bringing into a situation. So to be clear, I believe that mental health in an agency starts with doing meaningful work in a self-directed way. It then continues when respect and compassion are at the heart of higher expectations, not things that happen in case of emergency. It's really important to be in an environment where there are high expectations, but not when you think you're going to get abused if you don't meet those high expectations. And so there's a certain sense of spiritual maturity, a coach mentality that needs to come into play for people who are managing other people. But here's the thing. These things don't often exist. This sense of maturity often doesn't exist in advertising, not just because it's infatuated with what's young and what's new, but it's spiritually infantile. Come on, we can admit it. The advertising industry is spiritually infantile. It's immature. It's me, 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 me. Look how good I am. I'm so smart. I'm the best. And also we add to that the fact that as people increase in power through leadership ranks, that can lower empathy. So wealthy people tend to be lower in empathy than other people. Various research supports that. Regardless of whatever mental complexity someone brings to a job, they need sleep. Therapists will often get into trying to understand somebody's sleep structure. Generally speaking, you want your sleep structure to be pretty consistent. You want to be going to bed at a pretty similar hour most nights in the hope that your quality of sleep is good and for a decent number of hours, probably 7 to 8, although I'm less skilled in the science of sleep there. There are different schools of thought there. Obviously, people need to feel safe, they need to feel respect, and they need time to live, plus they need exercise. Now, I would totally understand if a company says that's not our job to do all those things and help all those things. True. But then you don't get to take all of those things away. If you are constantly turning up at people's desks or in their Zoom chats or emails or calendars late on a Friday, telling them they're pitching and are going to have to lose another weekend, then you do need to be cognizant of these other things. Doing some long hours every now and then in advertising, it's going to happen. Sometimes we do our best work in the middle of the night. Dangerous to glamorize that, but it's not sustainable. And over time, people can lose a sense of grip on what they're doing this for in the first place. They can lose a sense of grip on their relationships and on their senses of self, and it can lead to burnout and really difficult situations, almost like a sense of trauma that is just inside people because they're so used to short deadlines and all these meetings and being told what to do and where to be and how to think and how to turn up. It flies completely in the face of the fact that we're supposed to work in a creative industry. So if your people constantly work in fight or flight mode, it might make you feel powerful. That's the only reason to do it. Well, because also you don't know any better because you lack empathy and introspection, but you're going to feel powerful and then you're going to burn them out and you won't get what you want. If you have line managers who haven't been through some shit, chances are they're going to cause some shit. A yoga room or meditation practice or long walks at lunch, all very useful, but they don't solve for the issue that there are a lot of young people being made managers of other young people without having learned how to manage other people, without having a particular philosophy of what it is to be alive, to work in a creative field, to manage someone, what that responsibility is like. There's still, and especially in some parts of the world, this sense of progress, moving up the hierarchy means that I'm a boss and just to boss people around, tell them what to do. That's not how creative industries work. That's not how creative brains work. It's ridiculous. It's factory thinking applied to creativity, which is completely at odds. And regardless of all the things that I've mentioned so far, one of the most important things, if you've got people struggling with mental health, is having line managers who can almost deal with it in the moment. And I'm not talking about taking on someone's multi-decade history of challenging mental health or a recent trauma that they had. We need to understand our boundaries, and they'll be different based on the people and what they need and where you are and the cultures that you're in. But if you've got line managers who are low in empathy, who are bossing people around, and in advertising in some parts of the world, the people who are managers come from very elite backgrounds. They would have grown up probably without having to feel empathy for other people, probably without being exposed to how a lot of other people live. But if they can't catch in the moment what's going on, that someone's burnt out, if they can't catch in the moment that person's just worked 80 hours in the past week, it doesn't matter whether you do group meditations. It doesn't matter what candle you've got in the yoga room. None of that matters, because chances are the person who's been working their butt off, who has a complicated mental health situation, is already on edge, is feeling raw as anything. And all you're going to do by denying that person is going through something, or by loading them up, or by gaslighting them, or by treating them as if they're incompetent, even though they've been doing a ton of hours, all you're going to do is make the situation worse. You're not going to take responsibility for it, and you're going to throw them out after that. There are 5 simple things that are going to matter more than yoga and group meditation. First is leadership signals about the importance of mental health. If you are in any kind of leadership position, which is a lot of people in a company, you don't have to be in the C-suite, just telling people that mental health matters is really, really important. When you're going through mental health challenges, which at least a third of the world will go through in a very big way, let alone people who've just grown up around gently traumatic stuff, as well as big trauma, if you feel you're a bit broken, you're going to feel alone and you're going to isolate. And so to be in an environment where people are like, it's okay, we get it. A lot of people are attracted to creative work because they've got complicated minds. We get it. So we're going to try to work out how to create a safe environment here for them. We got you. It's not always going to work out, but we've got you. The second thing is we've got to train line managers, bosses, people's bosses in empathy and coaching. And the deal with managers and bosses is that there is a bit of a Lord of Flies thing going on. You got really young agencies. Average age in many parts is like late 20s. Let's call it 27, 28. A lot of agencies, that's their average age. So you got really young people, no offense to people around that age who think they're super mature and can conquer the world. You can. But you got really young people managing other really young people. And then in places where people have had to have a very expensive formal elite education and come from very expensive formal elite backgrounds, there's just not going to be the empathy there in the moment. Mental health and mental health complexities. Mental health complexities are not weaknesses. They often allow people to combine things in odd ways. There's a theory, it's not science, but there's a theory that one reason that depression has survived evolution is because it forces us to sit outside of situations and ruminate to potentially come back with more vigor and a solution. Now, that's probably not the lived experience of a lot of people who've gone through depression, but it's actually an interesting lens through which to examine a deep melancholy. I'm not talking about the more complex versions of depression, but if you're going through a deep melancholy, that's an interesting lens to think about depression through. I'm ruminating. My brain's encouraged me to withdraw so I can think about the problem that I need to solve, and I'm possibly going to come back with a bit more vigor. So training line managers is super important. The third one is to ask people working on a project how they want to do the work. There'll always be constraints. But too often you have account managers and people in your business sitting on briefs for weeks. And then it's Friday, 3 p.m., pitch kickoff, we're pitching next week. That's not fair. It's really not fair. It's irresponsible. It's reckless. And people doing that should actually get punished in some form. But if you want to coach people through creative work, you work out how much time there is. It could be 2 weeks. You allow them to push back. And guess what? You could potentially try to negotiate with the client about the deadline, especially if the client's giving you a brief and then they're going on a 2-week vacation or holiday. But you set the constraints. We've got 2 weeks. How are we going to get through this sanely? What does that mean? Okay, people want to finish work by 8 p.m. or they want to finish work by 4 p.m. or they're happy to work 80 hours in 2 weeks each week. Whatever the constraints are, you ask people how they would like to work. It helps them feel involved in the decision and involved in the work that they're doing, and they'll be more committed to the outcome. Connected to this is the fourth thing. The fourth easiest thing to do is to stop surprising people with ridiculous asks and timelines. If you constantly surprise planners with requests for research that you don't give them any context about, where they don't get to present to the client, where there's no follow-up with what you do with their thinking, what is that? It's absurd. It's reckless. It's irresponsible. It's inhumane. Don't do that. The fifth thing is to make sure that people sleep. Sleep structure, like I said, super important. Diet, super important. Exercise, going for walks in nature, going for walks in nature with other people. There's research to say that that's probably one of the top 10 things you could do for okay mental health. Allow people time to sleep, to live, and they'll be better for it. If you're going through some mental health challenges right now, my heart goes out to you. It's not easy. For what it's worth, I'm 3 decades into working through my own situation. It's quite surprising, actually, how writing a book was somewhat of an antidepressant in the end. Not necessarily the writing of it, the publishing of it. I can look at it and go, you did that, mate. That's good. Good on you. There's something quite calming about that, to be honest. If you're going through something right now, please consider getting professional help. Please realize you're not alone. Please don't compare your situation to what you're seeing on Instagram, to other people's stories. It's such a unique journey/adventure. If you've been stagnant, try to move. If you're not expressing, try to express. Try to create little gaps in your life through which light might be able to come in. Stream of consciousness writing. Grab a piece of paper. Give yourself 15 minutes. Fill the piece of paper with whatever comes out. You can't get it wrong. Go for a walk for an hour after you've done that and ask yourself a few gentle questions as you're walking. What stuck with me from what I just wrote? Can I say it in 5 sentences? Can I say it in 3 sentences? What's the one word that stuck with me from what I just wrote and why? Play these games with yourself. At the very least, you'll get to know yourself and you'll find a little bit of movement, a little bit of action coming back into your life. And if you're managing people, you don't have to solve them. That's not what we're talking about here. But just realize that some initiatives and some ways that companies behave can make people think that they don't need to take more responsibility or be more empathetic in the moment. And it's in the moment that you could affect someone's life in a good or possibly not a good way. Take care of yourselves. Peace.